Live Wild's Connection Matters podcast, bringing together heart-centered, nature-connected, curious people who share the inquiry, how can we create a connected and meaningful way of living that brings more health, happiness and growth to our world? My name is Leona Johnson and I am your host. This is episode 9. I'm grateful today for water. I got to sleep out last night between two rivers under the stars with my kids and some friends, and we had a fire and had cooked our dinner on the fire, and it was just really nice to see other human faces and be out in nature where we love to be. So yeah, it was lovely. I am grateful to be here today. It feels like the world has changed a gear, and so many things that were on pause have been kick-started back into action. So I'm apologising because I haven't done an episode for 9 days, and I know before that I was getting out nearly two episodes a week. So yeah, the aim is one a week, and hopefully that will start again soon. I've just been slightly distracted by the multitude of projects that have gotten the go at the moment, and trying to kickstart back into action. So hey ho, here we are. And today I'm looking forward to bringing you an episode with Damien Marney. Firstly, I just want to say that for this episode and most of the other episodes that I've done so far, I realised that I hadn't turned the switch on my computer that enabled me to record through the microphone, and actually it's just been computer recorded, so the quality hasn't been so great, but I now know how to do it, and so hopefully the quality will improve for the next episodes, and I hope at least it's easy enough to listen to as it is. I think it is. Also to say that this episode was recorded in the middle of lockdown. I think we were 6 or 7 weeks into lockdown, you know, right in the depths of our time there. So a lot of what we talk about is with reference to that time, with reference to the pause that was created, or this shift from everything as usual to a sort of not really knowing where we were going to end up. I would go so far as to say that the outcome now isn't quite as dramatic as what I might have imagined, but I still hope that there's a lot of change and potential and curiosity and consciousness in the things that have happened during lockdown as we go back into the busyness of life. But I guess only time will tell about that. But it's I just needed to mention that because obviously the conversation was had then, and I think it's quite interesting to look back, because I know a lot of people were having these conversations then about, oh, all these things have stopped, all these things have changed, and what could open up, what could happen. And of course that possibility is still there. So to tell you a little bit about Damien is a vocalist, percussionist and producer based in Manchester with a passion for community and collaborative projects. He is the writer and co-lead singer with Callbearers, an 8-piece Manchester ensemble creating archaic funk fables and soul migrations. Described as roots music from the rainy city and psychedelic soul with poetic social observation, an album of their material is due to be released later in 2020. He is the curator of Music as Medicine, a live music event started in 2016, aiming to bring communities together through the healing power of sound and music, performance and dancing, drawing on world influences and encouraging collaboration and improvisation between artists. Passionate about the healing power of sound, Damien regularly provides live music for the therapeutic events, including meditation, dance, breathwork and yoga sessions, retreats and ceremonies. This work includes the live improvisation trio, The Order of Love. Damien is a trained natural voice practitioner and has facilitated communal singing groups in a variety of scenarios, from his regular soul sound sessions and nature retreats to specialised work with lung health patients, social workers and prisoners. He is part of a collaboration project to bring music and voice work for staff and patients into a Manchester hospice in 2020. Damien has performed, produced and recorded music in many styles. His creative output and collaborations span from funk, soul and reggae through acid house, Balearic dub to Indian Afrobeat influences. Commercial releases range from remixing a major R&B artist for EMI through to underground DIY collective projects with international compilations and radio documentary soundtracks along the way. He's over 20 years experience in the film and TV industry and lectures as a freelancer on a BA honours course for Manchester Film School. Ah, wow, that's a lot, isn't it? Damien's a good friend of mine and we work together. We run Singing in the Wild, day-long and weekend retreats, taking people into nature and supporting people to find their authentic voice. So I'm excited that we've got two dates coming up. So if you're listening to this and you're interested in the sound of the work that we do with people in nature, then do check out the website www.livewild.org.uk. You would have to be in the north of England or be willing to travel to come to one of those. So that's worth knowing. Also, Damien has really kindly offered a full download of one of his past EPs to everybody who subscribes to our Patreon. Patreon's a way that you can support this podcast for as little as £3 a month, and that will enable us to make this podcast more sustainable. And in return, you get access to free downloads and behind the scenes content and extra giveaways from our guests. So if you're interested in that, that's www.patreon.com/connectionmatterspodcast, and there you will be able to see all the things we've got on offer. You have to leave a comment there under the post about this episode, and in return you'll get a code where you can download Damien's EP from Bandcamp, which is brilliant. So I'd definitely recommend it. Also, if you've not already subscribed to the podcast, then do hit that little subscribe button below, and that way you'll know you'll get the next episode straight into your device so that you don't miss any. And what else do I have to tell you? I think that's it from me. So this is Damien Marnie. Hey, I'm here with Damien Marnie. Yeah, I'm really excited to have you on the podcast, Damien. Thank you so much for joining me. It feels really nice to connect with you right now. We are usually in connection, and it just feels really, it felt like the right thing to do to speak to you about things that are going on in the world right now, and just bring your perspective onto things. Coming from a creative and spiritual background, like I know that you do, I'd really, really wanted to actually have some dialogue with you and explore things.
Thanks, Leona. Yeah, it's really good to be here chatting with you.
So I would like to start, as I usually do, with sharing a little bit of gratitude. I'm feeling today really, really grateful that I have had the opportunity last night to join my regular monthly women's circle on a virtual platform and share really deeply about everything that's happening, and found it such a unifying experience just listening, really deeply listening and sharing authentically. And I felt like in some ways it was even more potent than it is sometimes when we meet in person. Which was really thought-provoking afterwards, and I had this warm, buzzy feeling. It was simple, there was nothing complex about it. We joined in circle and we shared where we're all at, with a little bit of grounding at the beginning, and And at the end, we were sharing, you know, about the things that we would love to keep from this lockdown experience. And it felt really magical, you know. It was like, obviously people are having a hard time, and being in that space, everybody's experience is different, and that was really powerful. But so it wasn't in any way brushing over the personal, individual and collective difficulties that I know people are experiencing right now, but there was something about that togetherness and the deep sharing, and then the really deep intention setting or visioning that we created at the end, that was quite spontaneous, that felt really beautiful. So super grateful for that, really grateful for the technology that allowed us to do that, and that's allowing me to be here today to speak to you. And that is keeping so many people in connection right now, which feels hugely important.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Second that about the technology. There's so many creative ways to use it at the moment, and doing groups, connected groups, in the way that you say, it can be really powerful. Working in that way as well, you know, doing that work online. I'm actually there is a men's group that I was a men's group meeting that is happening now while I'm doing this conversation with you, but it happens quite regularly, and you know, so I'd much rather prioritize this at the moment. But that's been a really effective way to meet. It's a group that happens, you know, on in person, but they've now moved that to Zoom as well, and it's different, you know, there's a different aspect to it. Miss the physicality they still bring physicality and still bring movement and dance and things into that, but it's still very effective. Like you said, you know, it can be really powerful people, you know, as can these other things we share on Zoom. It's music or meditation or Qigong sessions or, you know, amazing talks that people are doing in meetings. So yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I also feel grateful for the technology and for those meetings that are happening, and the ingenuity and the energy that people put into going, right, okay, let's keep this going, but let's make it work in this way. And I guess, you know, on a personal note, the things that I'm feeling grateful for in this moment, in addition, are definitely for the food that I've just eaten. Just eating a big dinner, and that was really great. So being able to sit down with people in my household, with my wife Liz and with Dora, a really good friend who lives with us. So it's been the three of us together during this lockdown period. So being able to sit down and eat with them, and being out in nature this morning as well, really early on by the water, by a river. Those are two of the things that I feel really grateful for. My house, you know, having this house, I'm really, really grateful for that. An urban Old Trafford in Manchester, but it's you know, like terraced houses and a really good community here, so I'm grateful for that.
Oh, lovely, thank you. Yeah, I'll join you in all those gratitudes. So just to explain our connection, Damien and I have worked together. We've actually known each other for quite a long time, nearly 20 years, I suppose. And in the last year or two, we started working together, sharing, running workshops, singing in nature, and bringing people together to sing around the campfire and practice nature connection, and songs from around the world, circle songs, and just being together in community, and those have been beautiful.
Amazing.
And maybe we can talk more about that in a little while, but first off, would you be up for sharing a little bit about your background and what it is that you do, and what it is that you bring to the world? It's your
I'll
gift
try. I'll try. I guess something just popped in my head then, which is was a memory from being a kid. So when I was a kid, and you'd have like a birthday party, and you get schoolmates around and other people. And I was really into gatherings. I was really into community. And as a little kid, let's get everyone together. And what was a really important part of that, I was obsessed with music. I was obsessed with music and dancing and kind of like the event, you know, the spectacle of people being together. So rather than it just being like, it was a, you know, we'd have a kids party and it'd be cake and games and stuff. But the culmination of the whole thing would be to get everyone in a room and get like me or one of my brothers to DJ, because I had lots of older brothers and an older sister. You know, it'd be quite a music that would be like probably, you know, quite different to what a lot of the kids might be hearing, you know, and that was the thing. It was like, get everyone together and dance. You know, like transform the space through that, you know, and that's, I guess that's still a really strong energy with me that has been since I was at primary school. It's about bringing people together, and there's there's something very, very, a great leveler, you know, not a leveler in the sense that we all come and act the same, is a leveler in the way that I think when people are really lost in the moment with music and with dancing, and they can really feel at home in any space, a space that's created or a space that's taken, you know, to work. Because sometimes, you know, in lives we have to take space, you know, as well, because it's not always given to us. Within those spaces, there's something very transformational happens. And at its best, people can really be themselves. And so you actually see the uniqueness of people coming through in their response to music, whether it's playing, whether it's dancing, whether it's just the experience of that. And that's a theme I think that's been really important in my life. And it ran through being very involved with acid house parties and warehouse party movement in the late 1980s in north of England, in Blackburn, and then later, I guess, in Manchester and but around the northwest. From being a kid of like 15 years old, that was you know, a massive part of my life, and led me into making electronic music. But it's led me through to kind of working with music collectives and linking music to community, to supporting different political causes in the past, or social justice causes. You know, linking music to things that felt important for raising awareness about things, or supporting other people. Or supporting certain causes. And it's something that's continued for me through, I guess, an exploration of the origins of these things. You know, it occurred to me many years ago, I guess when all the acid house thing was going on, that on you could look at this as like, okay, it's just a movement, and we get different musical movements that happen all the time, and that's true. And yes, okay, right. So there's you know, it has its own lifestyle, it has its own drugs and etc. And yes, all, you know, all movements have these, but actually there's something very fundamentally human about this. And the fundamental human thing is we need to dance and we need to move to move energy. We need to do that, whether it's about grief, whether it's about celebration, whether it's just a change. We need to move and we need to come together and do that. And we need to make music and we need to do that together. So I think it's a core human thing, and it's like our pressure valve. But actually, the more you look into it, the more it has so many other connections. It's a spiritual connection. It's been used by so many different cultures and practices and communities to connect with notions of the divine. It connects us to the earth. It connects us, you know, to everything. It's a central part of a spiritual practice and life. So I guess in the sort of more recent years, a lot of my kind of studies and practices and experiences have been about how do we bring how do we bring music into settings where we give people a taste of that. And you know, sometimes those things can happen in quite specific deep ceremonial work, and these are some experiences that I have had. And but like, how can we make things really accessible, you know? So I've been doing these nights for a while called Music as Medicine, and Music as Medicine is really about bringing different musical disciplines together into one place. So you might hear Indian classical music, but you might hear beatboxers, and you might hear something else. You might hear different traditions from different places. You might hear electronica, you might hear bands, you might hear someone doing solo a cappella stuff. But it's really about, it's a feeling thing. It's not an intellectual thing about, oh yes, this is good. It's like, can this musician or these people transmit something of themselves that feels like it's transformative and that it's going to connect and touch other people, you know, regardless of whether it's like the thing at the moment, or it's trendy, or it's this. It's just like, has it got that thing that connects and can transform the room, like in a positive way? And it doesn't have to be light and airy. It can be deep. It can be dark. It can be, but it's about the intention. It's about the intention of the artists. And so that's the central thing that goes through like these Music as Medicine nights. And it's, I guess, led me into exploring things around the voice, which led me into this work with you. How, if we can all explore our voice, then it's a common denominator thing. How do we reduce things to a place where people aren't thinking, I can do this or I can't do this. I'm a good singer or I'm not. How can we, if we can start to express with our voice, and we all have hang-ups about our voices, I think, for one reason or another, or many people do, mm-hmm. I do, but we can access something inside that is a vibrational expression of what is, again, our essence. And how can our essence mingle and meet with all these other essences when we do that in group singing? So I was drawn to something called Natural Voice Network, which is about empowering people to sing in this way. And I guess because a lot of the music that I do, I sing with bands as well, and I've done other stuff that's quite tech heavy and quite, a lot of computers and electronic music as well. So for me, it's really nice to just be in a room or be in an outdoor space with people and just be connecting with the voice and be connecting with nature and be connecting with the other people within that space. Cause it's raw, and we could be in any time. We could be in any period. We're not reliant on anything else. Mm. That feels really powerful.
Mm-hmm. I love that image of you as a little school child getting everyone dancing and bringing people together, because you're still that child, aren't you? You're still that yeah. Like high energy, eclectic, like creative community inspirer. And
it's so funny actually when I think about it. It does make me giggle.
yeah, and that, everything that you said, I totally agree with, and I have always loved and been very inspired by the way that you've brought people together. And I can see in a way that I haven't seen, there isn't many other places or things that exist that bring together such an eclectic and diverse range of people and groups and ideas and backgrounds as what I see whenever you do the Music as Medicine nights. I love it. I love how different it is. And as you say, it's about the intention, it's about connection, and it's about really feeling what's behind that creative form of expression. And that can bring that, as I've experienced, very everybody's sat down and really deeply listening and there isn't much movement, and I've experienced where everybody's like fully going for it in there, and really having it on the dance floor in that wild and ecstatic way, which is just amazing, and both are needed and valuable and powerful, and all are vital, aren't they? Brings that vitality of life.
Absolutely. Thank you for, I'm really, really honored that, that those events have touched you in that way. And that you see that. That means a lot to me. I you're right. All those aspects are needed, aren't they? And I think that's something that's really, I think ultimately we know these things. I think we have a deep sort of inner knowledge as human beings, and we kind of know, the way, a way to kind of go about things. We know what's really important, but it can get quite clouded by the world we live in and our own processes, our own trauma, etc., etc. But a different sort of spiritual practices and ceremonies can bring is that understanding that, okay, now is the time for this. Now is the time to sit. Now is the time to be in silence. Mm. Now is the time to go inward. Now is the time, or can be a time, or there is a space to jump up, and now is the time for chaos, and now is the time for free expression, or and it's understanding, that's where we're really connected to things, connected to nature, is where is the wave, and it's a giant sound wave that we are riding, where are we, where and when are we, or are we on that journey of the wave? And where we can all get stuck in our lives is that we get polarized. I think this is such a present word for me at the moment. It's where am I getting polarized? Where are things getting polarized? Because the balance that I'm seeking and frequently not finding and falling off and falling over all the time is about knowing when is the energy in this place and when is it here, and that's. So if we're like, oh, I need music to be frenetic all the time and I need it to be in this place, or I can only handle music that's acoustic and it's quiet and everyone's quiet and everything's, you know, for me, it's like, well, the balance isn't there, because as human beings, we have all these different aspects to ourselves, and the world has all these aspects, you know, as day, as night, as different seasons, it's moving in different ways. You know, how do we respond, and how do we make something that's full? And, you know, and if we make something that's full, and if we create something that speaks in that way, and to me, it's accessible to people, because mm-hmm. it's not blocking. It's not going, oh, you can only be into this if you like this, or you can only be into this on you know, on this intellectual level, or if you like this kind of music. It's like, if it's fundamentally connected and we're doing it from a connected place, then surely it has to speak to other people if those lines of communication are open. And I believe they are.
Oh, I knew this was going to happen whenever I spoke to you, because there's so many things in that I want to pick up. One of the things that I immediately thought of when you started speaking then was how important it is to be able to showcase people who are absolutely fantastic at what they do, really beautiful and accomplished, and in that way, in some ways, you know, that can feel quite far from where we want is as an individual, but that everything that you're doing is about accessibility, that the other side, you know, the flip side to that, and the other side of the coin is about how we create accessibility and how we create spaces that are inclusive and that are about community and that are about people taking part and being involved and feeling part of what's happening. And those aren't one or the other, are they? You know, when it's done in the right way, that's what community is. It allows for that. It celebrates people's genius, and it there are ways of finding the genius in everyone. And we don't have that in our society, do we? You know, at the moment, there are pop stars. There are like people who are, you know, at the extreme level of the pinnacle of what being famous is, and being known for their you know, public figure heads and pop stardom. And then there are lots of other people who are also fantastic at what they do, but don't have that opportunity to share. And then there are all the people who want that, who think they want that, who want, you know, this sort of I don't watch them, so I can't even think of the names of any of them. But those programs that get people singing,
like X Factor.
X Factor, yeah. That's sad, isn't it? Like, I couldn't even think of that.
I can't remember. I just forgot what it was called. That's bad.
But yeah, you get me. That's, you know, it's about people seeing pop culture and striving for it, and that's, you know, really missing the point, because actually, what we all really want is to matter and to have an opportunity to be seen and to be heard and to be celebrated. And if we had a culture and a community that was more and the types of communities that allowed for that and created that and encouraged that, then we wouldn't need this striving for something that we don't have.
Oh yeah, it's so true. It's so true, isn't it? Everything you're saying. And when we were chatting just before this discussion, the recording started, you mentioned how, you know, it's kind of a great leveler with the situation, the lockdown situation, because you've not got, no one's going out to like gigs in like 20,000-30,000 seater stadiums, or even the, you know, all the different maybe out of gigs that happen all over the place that are amazing and create lots of, you know, create you know, wages and support so many people in those industries in so many different ways, from the big to the small. But there's something that is a massive leveler, that suddenly, you know, it's like everyone can be playing music online And and obviously it gets kind of saturated, but it is a level playing field suddenly. You know, it's like a major band. You know, they might be doing that online, but some friends of yours are doing it, or someone you'd never heard of is doing it. It's a way to access people in a different way. And there's it's a change and it's different, but there's something that's kind of interfered or interrupted with an aspect of that culture that you mentioned, that in many ways isn't healthy, because it's another thing that has just become commodified to such a degree that it kind of gets it gets controlled, and it gets manipulated, really, doesn't it, you know, as an industry, and therefore it lacks lots of its initial vitality and connection in some ways.
Yeah, it can be a really toxic industry, isn't it? Can't it? And actually, the media perpetuates that, and we're all part of that, even if we try not to be. The other thing that I wanted to pick up on was what you were saying about ceremony and ritualistic spaces and spaces that that are created, that have a start and an end. And I love that, because we don't have very many day-to-day ceremonies. You know, a lot of us, me included, have been quite resistant to what might seem religious or which is the only way that I ever encountered ceremony in my early life. Anything like that sort of seemed dogmatic or predetermined or you know, like set out in a certain way. And I always found in my early 20s I was super resistant to circle times and go rounds and talking sticks and things. Obviously a lot of that's changed for me, but the important thing that I felt that you raised was that, you know, when we create those spaces, these designated spaces, whether be it for dancing or sharing or being together for different reasons, we're giving ourselves permission, and we really need that, you know, don't we? We really need to be able to have community spaces where we are, where we know what's going to happen, and where it allows us to be free in that mode. You know, as you say, we all need to move and dance. We all need to be inspired and touched by beauty. We all need to have space to speak and be heard, and also to listen to other perspectives. And all of those can be done, not in a strict or strange ceremonial way, but in a way that actually brings about more connection and not less.
Absolutely. It's like... I guess again, like the word or the sense of polarity is something that's coming up for me. And I guess, I grew up, you know, with, as a kid, being Catholic and having to go to church all the time. And it was something that I didn't really resonate with. And then when it got to the point when I was kind of coming into church, having been out at all night parties, at warehouse parties, and a bit like sort of dribbling at the back of church because I hadn't slept and fallen asleep, and my mum was like, you don't have to go anymore, it's okay, we'll let you off that one. So I kind of got out of that earlier than other siblings, and so I think a lot of people have experiences of things that they can't necessarily resonate with, and so, you know, when it's like, you know, religion and the order of it, and for good reasons, because there's been so much, you know, exploitation and terrible things that have gone on from organized religions. So we get a polarity within how some of those things have acted, those elements in our life, in our societies. But then we get a polarized response the other way. So we throw everything out. So sometimes when we're young and we sort of embrace chaos as well, we resist the idea of like ritual and order and things, because we're like children that don't have the language. You know, especially like in a lot of Western cultures where we've not necessarily kept that connection ancestrally with ritual and some of those practices, indigenous practices in our own country. So we've had to maybe absorb snippets and aspects of that from different places elsewhere. But I think often it feels like to me like we are like children having to look at that and rediscover that and realize that actually between these polarized places of, you know, like exploitative and often cynical practices that have been disguised as religion, and then the other way, which is a total rejection of kind of spiritual practice, that within that we can throw the baby out with the bathwater, and there's actually something sacred. You know, sacred is maybe a good word to use, that there's something very sacred in certain practices, and a lot to be learned. And it's really, you know, one other thing I wanted to say on that is that you know, obviously what happens in cultures, you know, what we create, things that are a sign of that culture. So if we create a culture that is, like you said about the, you know, the music industry only values certain things and appearance and certain styles of doing something, in a way of kind of controlling that aspects of that industry to an extent for purely for, you know, for profit. It's the same thing happens in society when we don't value those communal spaces, and we don't value slowing down, and we don't value certain practices that aren't connected to maybe, like, you know, control and finance, you know, and a very sort of like doing mind-centered, mind-dominated approach to life and approach to culture. And so, you know, there's definitely been, you know, moves, I guess, in society to repress communal activity, or to restrict communal activity to kind of like, you know, I don't know, go to gigs or football or bingo and things like that, you know, or maybe, yeah, go to church, but not necessarily gatherings that have, you know, other forms of meaningful spiritual and communal connection.
Yeah. So one of the things that you have mentioned a couple of times is the polarity thing, is the way that quite often we find beliefs that suit us in a time, in a moment. They identify us with our tribe. They help us feel like we belong. And after all, without organized religion and without communities that are and without living close to our families, we're often searching for meaning and connection and belonging being the point of this thought. And so in identifying ourselves with one political way of thinking, perhaps, or another, we are finding belonging and tribe, and yet somehow we are more disconnected as a society than we've ever been. And I really notice as well this polarity thing that's happening, and how, you know, if you think like that, you cannot be in my tribe. You can't. And I wonder what music and the arts can do and does do that. You know, that's one of the things that I really love about the work that you've done, how much it brings together the diversity and in that how it can break down barriers.
Yeah, I think it has to be one of the best, if not the best, way of breaking down barriers, I think. You know, if you're at a really good wedding, and there's like a good DJ and good music, it's brilliant, isn't it? I love those moments where, like, suddenly you've had people who are all on their own little tables, and they're in their own social groups, and, you know, lots of people who wouldn't necessarily generally mix, who are there because they're relatives or family. But and then you can have a good tune at a wedding, and people have, you know, had a drink, and they've kind of lost their inhibitions a bit, and then suddenly you've got like everybody on the dance floor, and you've got like all the different age groups, and that's why I think it's really exciting. I'm like, you know, that's the vibe in a way that you want to bring to events and other things that you do.
I love that too. I love weddings for that. You know, some people are like, oh God. It's like, I always end up finding myself talking to some great auntie or a great uncle, and like having really random chats about like the deepest of things with people with very different perspectives from me, who are like really interested in what I have to say, and I'm really interested in what they have to say. And yeah, you know, and then you're dancing and you're bringing people together in that way, like you say, with people who may not have anything in common, really, but actually it brings out that sense of unification, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's such a funny thing, isn't it? Because it's like we make so many judgments, don't we? We carry so many judgments, you know. And I'm looking at myself, holding a mirror up to my you know, myself here as well, in the way that we're trying to navigate the world. You know, like you said, where is my tribe? And so sometimes our tribe is defined by places that where we feel we might feel accepted, that our views or our lifestyle or our sexuality or whatever is accepted. You know, and you know that, and that's a really amazing thing to kind of find groups of people where maybe you have very, very different life experiences, because your way of looking at the world can be kind of celebrated, and you know, you feel support from other people. Support and community is very, very important. But again, it's very easy. Everything can be like a trap, and it's very easy for then us to then fall into that thing of we're on the side of what's right, you know, on the side of what other people think is wrong, you know, and whether it's politically or it's spiritually, and it's around the food that we eat, and you know, all these aspects, or how we see something like, you know, a pandemic or a global situation, and you know, what's really going on and what isn't going on, and it's and so much energy goes into that, you know, so much energy goes into that, and it does become. It seems at the moment in the world there's something very, very, very polarized, where it's hard for us to sit and accept that, you know, when people have a different way of looking at things. And I think, you know, it's really what's coming up for me at the moment is seeing those ways that's present for me, you know, and because sometimes we feel like we have core values and core beliefs that feel really, really important for the kind of society that we want to create. So we feel like we want them, you know, to be shared with other people, but we can get very attached to those ideas. And one thing that's coming up for me a lot at the moment is a feeling within this of like not knowing, you know, I'm in a place of not knowing, and actually that feels very good.
Yes.
Not that it's not good to not know things, but it feels good to not think that I have the answers, and I have to have the answers, and that I have to be aligned with a particular way of looking at something, because you know ultimately we are, you know, we're elemental beings, aren't we? You know, we're hugely made up of water. Well, water is obviously very fluid, you know, but has power and has subtlety, and can, you know, doesn't stay stuck in one particular place and stay stuck in one particular position. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that as human beings that we should be flipping what we think to suit other people either. But it feels like for me, like an opportunity at the moment is like, for someone who is often quite outward, you know, quite outgoing, it's the big teaching at the moment is about ways to go inward. And ways to kind of feel into, like, how do I feel about things, and where can I challenge what it is I feel about something, or how I feel like I know about something, you know, how can I see that in other ways, you know, and that is a challenging process, but it's something I'm enjoying aspects of that at the moment. It feels like there's an aspect of letting go. Which is important. It's important for me.
Yes. Surrender. Surrender has been my word, actually, of this time up until now, because I've felt like, you know, anybody who actually says or thinks that they know what's going to happen or where this is going to lead is a charlatan, really, at the end of the day, aren't they? Because there is so unbelievably complex, and there are so many, there's an infinite number of possibilities from here. And so, from one train of thought, all of the things that people have been praying for, you know, people who want more consciousness, less pollution, less flying and mindless consumption, they've all happened overnight. Yeah. And many other things that are, you know, I don't need to go on to list. And so all of those things that we daren't dream beyond, because we never thought those things would ever happen, have now happened. And now there's the possibility that we could think of the things. And for me, I mean, this is something that I, you know, came to thinking when I was actually thinking about the dark side of what might happen, you know, the increased levels of control, all of the privacy rights that have been eroded in this time, you know, the fast rollout, an untested rollout of 5G, you know, whether it just means that we're going to be tracked more easily Whether there are any health concerns around it, I don't know. Things like our food supplies, you know, and what's going to happen there, you know, because actually so many of the producers, the growers for in Europe haven't been able to do that in Spain and Italy. What's going to happen in the winter? You know, there's so many things that that we could go into fear about. But actually, on the same tip, because we don't know anything, we don't know where it's going to go, all of the same can be said the opposite way around. You know, all of the, you know, there's always going to be hardship, but the possibility that things can be different whenever we move beyond these first initial stages is also very exciting. And so I'm really intrigued about that and where that might go, and loving the opportunity to be able to imagine that we have the opportunity to change.
I think, that's, you know, again, like, you know, the societies that we create, they come from us, they come from our imaginations, you know. So why can't we imagine something different? It's we often talk about things, or it's a cliche to talk about human nature. And obviously there's lots of evidence of, you know, the way that humans treat each other and the way that we do certain things, you know, throughout history that do make those things seem very common and very strong, you know, as traits. But there's, you know, this situation is incredibly complex, and there are so many aspects to us as human beings and about the cultures that we create and can create. So you know, it's an opportunity that it is, you know, it's hard because in some ways you feel like, or I feel like, going back to how things were before. People are going, oh, let's get back to normal. It's like, that makes me feel sad in some ways, because, you know, we could, you know, who could have campaigned to have had, you know, that this level of reduction in pollution, you know, who could have campaigned to, you know, to have that. And yet by this situation, we have that. So it does give us, you know, potential choice to do things in a different way. At the same time, you know, there's lots of people whose lives have depended on certain industries that are connected to, you know, our lifestyles, which globalized lifestyles that are so interdependent. We've seen how interdependent they are, and how things can just come to a standstill. So it's hard, you know, who are we to say, yes, let's not do any more of that, you know, when it's, it might be someone's livelihood, and that's what puts food on the table for them and pays the rent in their household. So the complexity of the interconnections that we have are huge. And yet, you know, how many people, you know, haven't thought about, oh my God, I just want it all to stop, you know, at some point. How, you know, we've all, I think, you know, most people at some point have the thought, the pace of this is relentless. The pace of this is a life. It doesn't feel natural. It feels disconnected. It doesn't feel, it's not equal, you know, and we're still seeing that now in this situation, that there's massive inequality, how people are affected by this, you know, throughout the world and in this country. So it's like, but we see all these beautiful acts as well of community and care and connection. So we, you know, I think, I guess we see the best and worst, all the aspects of humanity are kind of, you know, being thrown out there, you know, and are, you know, maybe, you know, those things need, they're often there bubbling under the surface because it's business as usual, because of the demands of the kind of lifestyle and the world that we have, this sort of globalized economy. But maybe a lot of it, these aspects, the sort of shadow aspects, if you want, are being thrown to the surface and are there and a little bit more visible. And I think whatever happens, whatever outcome, that has to be a good thing, because what just sits hidden and unconscious isn't dealt with and is operating us rather than us being able to make a conscious choice.
Mm-hmm. Consciousness. Yeah, it's making me think of, We just need to be having these dialogues, don't we? We need to be talking. And I wonder how we can talk to more people and how we can get the perspectives of everyone and really, really find ways of, you know, getting out of our own bubbles and starting to understand the needs and wants of other people, you know, in our communities, and actually seeing ourselves as as belonging to everyone. I don't know. I don't really know what I'm getting at. I feel like, you know, consciousness and choosing to be so, and thinking about how we move forward, it is a privileged position to be in, because if you're really just thinking about where you're going to get your next meal from, and how you're going to feed your kids and how you're going to stay in you don't have that privilege to dream like this. And although I'm sure in those situations there's plenty of things you really don't want to experience, and there's plenty of things that you would really love to see more of that aren't too wild or crazy. So I'm just really wanting these discussions and these dialogues, and less debating and more discussing openly, being curious, being open, and finding ways to unpick the mindset that this is the way things are, and actually they're not. They're of our creation, and now we, you know, it's like rupture and repair, or, you know, however other many ways you can see it. When things change, when you're on the edge of something from one phase to another, that's when the magic happens. And we're in that stage now. We're in that time where, you know, everything has changed, and things are shuffling about, and lots of interests are being pulled here and there, and a lot of us are just at the mercy, really, of in some ways we're at the mercy of our governments and that kind of control. But it's not just about that, is it?
No, I don't think it is just about that. I think again, I think maybe, you know, again, it comes down to imagination, doesn't it? It comes down to imagination, ways that people are interacting and using technology. You know, where not only to communicate with each other, but, you know, in what ways will people be able to support each other? You know, I think it's, what was quite interesting in this country was that because there wasn't necessarily any sort of clear leadership or clear direction in terms of like responses to this situation, that you're often seeing like different public bodies and private bodies taking their own action and often mm-hmm. being like incredibly thoughtful in lots of situations, not all situations, but some situations, very thoughtful about their employees, very thoughtful about other people, you know, people who in the food industry or catering industry, redirecting food to places and people where they need it, in terms of people redirecting their industries to do things that might be needed for like a greater good. There's lots and lots of examples of that. And I think that's, you know, that's incredibly positive. And there's lot and outward expressions, even if it's like, you know, in our local park, the outward expressions of like of kids doing artwork where they've, you know, and the crayon things about all the people that they're grateful for in society. So not just NHS mm-hmm. workers, but, you know, the bin men, you know, and people who do this and the people who do that, and all the different, it's just the thought process of that thought, mm-hmm. the thought process of going, you know, we can be really cynical and go, right, okay, you know, the government's not supporting the NHS, they're trying to pull it apart, and all those things are true. And I, you know, do not want to gloss over that in any way. It's something I feel very passionate about. But, you know, you're seeing other people taking a moment, children and adults, to go, you know, let's give solidarity and support and pay respects to other people within their society that isn't just about, you know, the pop stars or the leaders mm-hmm. or the celebrities. It's mm-hmm. actually about other working people. So in little things like that, I think they're really important gestures.
Well, but we're also going to find people who are so unbelievably grateful that the sun shines through their window, even mm-hmm. if it's just for an hour mm-hmm. or, you know, between 11 and 12 o'clock, you know, they'll be noticing where the sun comes from and really feeling it, like really absorbing mm-hmm. it, maybe lying down in that little patch of sunlight that they've got in their flat window. Or they'll be noticing how quickly the leaves mm-hmm. have come out in the last few weeks, you know, on their apple tree or the apple tree in the park across from them or whatever, you know, and really paying attention to that which is around them that connects us to the web of life more greatly, you know, because you don't notice that, do you, when you're busy? I mean, you know, that's such a generalization to say that, but I think, you know, I do think that when we're in the busyness of our lives and we're moving from our homes to our cars and then to work, and we're, you know, maybe with kids or you know, trying to remember shopping lists or whatever, we're not thinking and noticing the clouds and the way that the leaves change and how, or even thinking about where our food is coming from. I've heard so many more conversations, you know, people thinking about where their food is coming from and starting to grow food because, you know, we don't know when this is going to end, and it might be by winter we don't have as much fresh food available to us. And you know, how exciting would it be if you know, this started a new revolution of people growing in their gardens and having their hands in the soil, and you know, and just having that connection that is so part of us, such part of our humanity and our and so grounding and so important, you know, sacred, as you were saying before. It's about, you know, that word sacred is, you know, that which connects us to a sense of more than ourselves, you know, the great mystery, the thing we don't know anything, you know, we can't explain, but is there.
There's so much that you said there that resonates with me. You know, I mean, there's something to really be said about you know, a limitation, you know, a limitation of, I'm not saying like it's great to be in like a restricted lockdown situation, but in any situation, if you have a limitation, then that can bring forth, like you said before, creativity. You asked, you know, will lots of people be being creative? It does bring creativity, I think, to the surface, limitation, because our energy is more directed potentially into less places. So what's coming up the surface to be expressed? What can I do instead of not having to do X, Y, Z? I'm not, if people aren't traveling as far, not seeing as many people, their life can be more inward, but that can also bring so much gratitude for some of the smaller things. And that's been really present for us, you know, in our household, and the things that you notice, you know, I mean, the cherry blossom was happening at the beginning of this, you know, in the parks around us. And although I would see that, and I'd be walking in those parks every day, we spent a lot more time in and around it, and it was just absolutely incredible. You know, we were so grateful for that. And you know, I mean, like we live in a terraced house. We've got a little yard out the back, which is great, but we've got, you know, an allotment and access to an allotment, and that's just been incredible. It's the most grounding, healing thing that you said, to put your hands in the soil and be down there. And so whenever I've gone down there in like a headspace of, you know, my head's been spinning with different things that are going on, or things that I feel like I need to be doing, or trying to, you know, find a way through this, navigating a way through this situation, or, you know, you could get involved in a very polarized debate that's in the mind, or I think this and I think that, with different people on the internet, on, you know, online. And generally for me, this has been a time of, you know, what can I do that feels creative? What, you know, what can I do that feels grounding, growing food, you know, or being connected to nature through that process. And you know, and music, creativity and connection. And again, it's like you said before, you know, it's like we're all in different situations. You know, we've lost, you know, pretty much all our income, all my income that comes at the moment. But again, I'm in an okay situation, you know, as well. So I'm, you know, I'm hugely grateful for that, you know. And I know not everyone's having that experience. And lots of people are much more isolated, and things are harder. I feel very grateful for the simpler things. It's been an invitation into more simplicity, and it's not one that I've always accepted, you know. Within this time as well, because that's often not my habit pattern. It's often doing, you know. But I've really noticed where I have, and how that's helped to guide me through this time at the moment.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. It's the small things, isn't it? I've got to say, I've never appreciated my shower as much as I do now. And you know, you mentioned water before and how it flows and how it. You know, water doesn't come up against a boulder and then just stop, does it? It splits, or it goes over, or it builds up like behind something, but then it moves forwards, or it creates a new thing. It creates a lake, and it, you know, in itself, and it is a new form. But it's always moving. And I connect to water really strongly. And I've got to say, you know, living in a small house with three children and a partner, and having, you know, full-time children around me who I dearly love, but sometimes really need to get some space from, getting in the shower has been my salvation, you know, and just really connecting with the water and, you know, singing to it, back to singing, you know, singing just to move the thing, you know, whatever blockage is within me, and then allowing the water to flow over me and cleanse and take away, you know, that which I don't need, and allow myself to feel, you know, feel my body and really like feel whatever feelings that I am feeling, and then letting them flow on. That's been my saving grace. So yeah, I felt I needed to mention that, because it's not all always about getting out into the wild and far off, is it? And it's not always needing to be with these people or those people. It, you know, it can be the really small things, and everyone's going to have their own little things like that, you know, even if that's a cup of tea in the morning.
It's you know, I mean, obviously there's lots of things that are really difficult and heartbreaking around, you know, not being able to connect with relatives and loved ones, and, you know, and there's so many things and so many stories like that. But in our situation, we're just, you know, the three of us in the household, it's like there's so many teachings and so many things to learn around those relationships. And what's going on, and seeing your own processes within that, and being and that coming to the surface more, and it being clearer. No, like you said, you know, you might notice the little things out in nature. It's noticing the little things about what's going on, you know, with yourself, with your own processes, and what changes that, what alleviates that. Okay, what do I need at the moment? I'm getting into a frenetic place, or I'm getting into a place of fear, or I'm getting into a place of thinking, feeling that I have to do everything, you know, before this, you know, because I've actually been working really hard during this period. I found it a really creative period to kind of not be doing lots of events, not be doing lots of external things, but I've still been trying to make a lot of DIY music video, doing lots of music production, and it's actually been really, you know, quite a really full time. But it's like, well, when can you recognize when actually, right, okay, you need to rest, or when do you recognize that you need to, you know, connect with other people, or, you know, what you need to do for your own body or your own well-being.
And I wonder, you know, if nothing else, that will certainly be being seen by lots of people, you know, that what they need and how what they need is different from what they think they want. And then what helps and what doesn't help to get you to closer to your desired state, which might be peace, which might be groundedness, which might be calm, which might be joy. But all of those things, you know, and which, whatever, you know, your desired state is, this moment for me is really helping me learn what I need to do to access those states. And so I love, you know, and everybody's doing that differently. And I think there is a fine line between not wanting to waste this time. I heard someone say the other day that they, you know, they imagined, you know, what would happen if it all ended tomorrow, and they'd be like, no, all those things that I wanted to do, all those books I wanted to read, and all that yoga I was going to do, and the panic that went over them, because, you know, you don't want to miss this opportunity. And then the other side of that is like, also just being is enough, and doing some of those things is a bonus, and then, you know, when you give yourself that space, that's when your creativity can really flow. And it sounds like you've been doing some, you know, exciting creative projects. What do you want to tell us, you know, before we sort of wind it up, do you want to tell us about the things that you have been doing?
I was just about, as the sort of scale of the situation was becoming apparent in relation to the COVID-19, I was on the verge of like launching a crowdfunder video for an album. So it's got to be the worst time to release a crowdfunder, but, you know, for an album. So it didn't. We shelved that. And, you know, if and when, you know, things settle more, then I'm sure we will do that. But but I sing and produce music and write music for a band, and the name's Corebearers. And Corebearers is, well, the call's another word for a veil. You know, it's another word for the veil that the baby comes out in. So it literally means the wearer of the veil, the bearer of the veil.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, I've sung and played with this band in Manchester, Corebearers, for a long time, but we've done EPs and singles and things in the past and tracks on compilations, but this is an album that's been a long time coming, and it's involves lots and lots of different musicians from Manchester and beyond. So this is a project that I'm working hard at the moment in trying to finish, so that I can release that later this year. So at some point I'll be doing a crowdfunder for that. But I've been going out, getting out early, filming footage just as and where, when I can, just using a phone, to create like a DIY music video for one of the tracks. So I've been doing lots of that, you know, whenever there's a good day or I can get out early in the morning, trying to get out doing that. So we're doing this. We're doing this Corebearers album project. I'm also doing production at the moment for an amazing artist called Ruth Blake, who's a singer songwriter who's based down Somerset way, and we've been doing some different collaborations. She's a musician as we've put on at events, and we've done collaborative work with. So I'm doing some production for her as well. And the other things that I'm working on at the moment is we were due to do. There's lots of events and gigs that we're doing that have all obviously been stopped and cancelled, like gigs when playing with other people, but also events that we were promoting and putting on. But I'm involved in a project with an amazing woman called Feeney Cave, and she is a music therapist but has been a real pioneer in this country for doing singing with people with lung health issues, and we've been commissioned to do a project in North Manchester that's working in a hospice, which is also empowering the staff to work with their own musicality. So it's helping staff to work with patients in a hospice, but it's also about them accessing their musical ability, what's musical around them, you know, in skills that people might have already, but it's about bringing that out. It's in a way, it's be like what we were talking about earlier on in the conversation, which is that, you know, how can we make things more accessible? How do you make something more accessible and realize that, okay, I have got talents in this way, or I can understand things around rhythm or stories that people want to tell, and how can we turn that into a song about somebody's life? So we're going to be, we were going to be doing that in May, but we're doing all the research for that project now to deliver it later in the year. So there's a couple of health-related music projects that I'm involved in at the moment that we can't do the practical aspects. I can't do the singing, the group singing aspect, but hopefully we'll be able to do those bits later, and we're just laying the groundwork for that now.
Lovely. And yeah, how important that is to be able to, again, take the music to the people and find ways of bringing those well-known and well-documented benefits to the people who really need it. And yeah, it sounds I can't wait to see the video. We've had a lot of good weather, hey?
Yeah,
last few months here in the north of England.
Yeah, the weather's been amazing. But this morning went out really early, and it was really cold. And I was lying down by some rocks by the water in very uncomfortable positions, singing. But it was good fun, and it was amazing to be by water. So so yeah, I'm hopefully piecing something together that'll be for like the title track for the album that will be that hopefully will have a real sense of this time, only in the sense of that notion of like space in the streets, space out in the parks, or that, you know, I said before, we were filming when the cherry blossom was out. So, you know, that looks really beautiful. And it's about things being in a bit of a different pace and like a space for contemplation in a way, or space for imagining a different world. And that's exactly what the song's about. You know, the song was written about 3 years ago, but it's very much about that. So it felt important to go out and try and film things in a really DIY way. You know, there's no camera crew, it's no good camera, there's no one else. It's like, it's, you know, we just doing it with a phone, you know.
Raw and authentic,
hopefully, yeah. So that's, you know, it's good to just work, just working within limitation, isn't it? And that's
exactly, and documenting and doing that now is so key, isn't it? Because this, wherever we go from here, is unprecedented time in history. I've said that phrase so many times recently, but it really is. And we need to be recording it. Mm. You know, we need to be recording it from as many different angles as we can, because, you know, in 100 years, we'll still be talking about this, like they were talking about the Great Plague and the bubonic plague and, you know, the world wars. You know, this is as significant as all of those things. So, yeah, I love that you're sort of documenting that in your musical and visual way.
Yeah, and it's in a very local way as well. It's, again, that thing that we talked about bringing attention to the little things. You know, it's like the sign or a message that it might be seeing locally, like an amazing mural on the wall that's got like a really good message. And these things were already around, they're already existing, but it's just like, you know, the narrative, the story that is there all around you already, you know. And we, you know, any stories we make, I guess, as human beings, we're just connecting things that are already there, aren't we? So there's a kind of story of that within this video that's very much like, well, what's around here, what's around us, and that feels like a really important theme of what, you know, what's coming up for me, and I think a lot of other people, is what's going on in my life, what's around me, you know, what's important right now, you know, and how to kind of cherish that, and how to be able to see that and nurture that.
What is important right now? We'll never. I guess, you know, for me, that's really the thing that I've been able to do, is just really look at that. So, yeah. Well, how do people get in touch with you if they want to see your work or hear you? Or...
The best way to see the stuff I'm doing, actually, although it probably should be elsewhere, is actually Facebook. Rather than one solid central website, which is a bit of a shame. That's the way, but yeah. So the vocal, the communal voice sessions that I do, the name for those is Soul Sounds, and so that's Soul Sounds. We do the Nights Music as Medicine in Manchester, but we do them elsewhere. Again, that's find us on Facebook. We do live improvised music for dance events. That's something called the Order of Love. The big 8-piece band that I've got the album that I'm finishing at the moment is Call Bearers, a Manchester band, or you can find me as Damian Marnie.
Yeah, I'll put all of these will be in the show notes afterwards. So yeah, for people who are intrigued about your eclectic bringing together of all the different themes and forms that you work with, and hopefully people can access that.
Brilliant, I love that.
Cool. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We've meandered exactly as I imagined we would, and hopefully there's some form in that, but I've enjoyed it. I've had a really good time just unpicking some of the dreams and thoughts and curiosities that I've been playing with, so I hope you have too.
I have, yeah. Thank you very much for inviting me to be part of this meandering river that we find ourselves in.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Hopefully we'll do it again.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did having it. I hope this inspires you to follow your path of deep connection, maybe in music and creativity. I love sharing this information, and I'll always share any relevant links in my show notes. So if anything that you've heard interests you, then do check it out there. And if you like the show, please consider supporting it at patreon.com/connectionmatterspodcast. This is where you'll find bonus episodes, giveaways and behind the scenes content from me, as well as having my huge heartfelt thanks for any support that you can give me. It really does help with the viability of this show in the long run. You can get most of what will be on offer for as little as £3 per month. The Patreon offer for this episode is a 4-track download of one of Damien's EPs. So do hop over to the Patreon account, and if you choose to support us, you can leave a comment there on this post about this episode, and you'll be able to receive a free code for the download of his EP on Bandcamp. Also, If you are in the north of England and would like to come for a nourishing, inspiring and healing day of songs that span time and place and sing around the fire with both myself and Damien, then do look at the website www.livewild.org.uk to get more information and to book your place. We're so glad to be able to meet again with people in person in the woods and be able to sing together. Very exciting. Please also subscribe on whatever app you use by clicking that little subscribe button below. That way you'll get all of the upcoming episodes straight onto your device. And if you can leave a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, that's really helpful. It changes the visibility of this show so that more people get to see it and hear it. The music that opens and closes the show is actually by my very own dad, Ray Johnson. Thank you, Dad. So you can hear more of his music at soundcloud.com/visionray.